the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. It was 1 week ago today. The topic of our conversation was the question, what do women want? It was a fascinating conversation. I had a lot of feedback, good callers. And taking off on an article that had been written by Maureen Dowd, published in that Sunday's edition of the New York Times, indicating that as women grow older, they grow less happy. Well, it was a very interesting conversation. Just the upshot of the conversation was that that feminism has presented women with an impossible set of expectations. And Maureen Dowd even reflected this in her article, that feminism says not only should a woman do all the things women have always done, but women must also have great professional stature. They must go on for higher education. Otherwise, they simply aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Otherwise, they're letting the team down. That's the language that some feminists are using. So the question, what do women want, really came back to a lot of women saying what we want are pretty much the things that women have always wanted. And then I add an email from a woman who said, what I want to know is what men want. Okay, so a week later, after talking about what do women want, today we're going to be taking up the issue in life of what do men want. And I thought it was very interesting that several women have said, okay, that's a fascinating discussion, but if indeed this general social studies survey indicates that as women grow older, they grow less satisfied, and as men grow older, they grow more satisfied, what's happening? And what do men want? Okay, ladies, I think we're fairly easy to figure out, but it's a good discussion to have because it means that we should be asking not only what do men want, but from a Christian worldview perspective, what should men want? The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're glad to hear from you by email. Write us at mail@albertmohler.com. And you can also follow us and communicate with us. Send your questions and comments by Twitter at Twitter/AlbertMohler and Mohler Radio. Email us at Facebook at the Albert Mohler Program. By the way, I hold in my hand a book. Evidently, this author thinks he knows what men want, especially when it comes to getting married. Simon Oakes has written a book, and I had to pick it up simply because of the title and the art on the front. It's a man holding a cardboard sign that says, "We'll marry for food, sex, and laundry." That's someone who thinks he knows what men want. I think it's an important discussion far beyond the issue just of marriage. What is it that men want? I have some suggestions. And I'm able to speak this week in the first person rather than in the second person to this. But I want to invite you to call. The phone number again is 877-893-8255. I think it's a good question. It's a good question for both men and women to think about. What do men want? What should men want? 877-893-8255. We'll get to that discussion. It's going to be interesting in just a moment. First, to review some issues in the news, we're continuing to pray for folks in Indonesia and elsewhere. There are reports of continued seismic activity there in the Pacific area. Almost 3,000 persons still trapped under the rubble following Wednesday's earthquake off the Indonesian island of Sumatra. It is now known that more than 1,000 persons have died. And because of the circumstances there, especially given the difficulty of excavating some of these buildings, it looks like that the chances of finding more survivors are growing dimmer. The BBC International News is reporting that the death toll could actually be several thousand because even the 3,000 persons still trapped, that's just an estimate coming from the government. You're talking about densely populated villages where it's actually impossible right now to know how many lives are involved. Of course, even at the same time, we had that underwater earthquake that led to the tsunami in the Samoan Islands. And so the death toll there in the Pacific is rising again. Yesterday, we talked about the fact that even as there is a ring of fire, as the geologists call it, with that center of very active volcanoes in the Pacific Rim, you also have it both in terms of underwater and on-ground geological seismic earthquakes that come with recurring energy and force and destruction. And this is a reminder to us that we need to pray for these folks. We need to pray that there will be a way of reaching as many as are alive in order to save those lives. Every single one of these lives, just like we talk about the lives of the unborn, just like we talk about the lives of the embryo, just like we talk about the lives of the elderly in nursing homes, and those who are on life support. We're talking about people here, every single one of them made in the image of God. And it is important and vital that we do everything possible to find as many as possible and save as many of those lives as possible. It's important that as we're praying right now, we remember that those who are trapped in these buildings, they are the mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of people who are grieving them and praying for them and who desperately need them. Let's continue to pray, even as the death toll mounts and we are reminded of the stakes. And we're reminded of the fact that, again, as I said yesterday, this just strikes me as I am praying for the folks there in Indonesia and beyond. We think the ground underneath our feet is so solid. And news like this reminds us that it is not. It reminds me of the great sermon by that Puritan preacher, that great revolutionary era American preacher, Jonathan Edwards, who made very clear that in his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, that we're walking across a net when we think we're walking across firm ground. And at any time, he said, your foot can slip and we will fall down into the pits of hell. Which is just a metaphor that Edwards was using of the fact that we think we're on solid ground when actually we are not. Very sad development, and especially with a national television audience watching last night. David Letterman was forced to go before a live national audience to report that he had been before a grand jury as he has brought to the attention of authorities a $2 million extortion plot against himself, it turns out, according to news reports, by another CBS employee. And this had to do with extramarital affairs that Mr. Letterman had had conducted with members of his staff, female members of his staff, in a very chilling and, I thought, absolutely macabre setting, absolutely bizarre and grotesque setting. David Letterman spoke about this, and his audience laughed as if it were a joke when he spoke about having committed adultery and indeed having done what this person was going to blackmail him against having to admit. And undoubtedly, in terms of the legal situation, David Letterman did the right thing going to the authorities and refusing to be blackmailed. But my, the personal damage that is revealed now. David Letterman last night in his comments said he was doing this because he needed to protect his family. He needed to protect the family of the women involved. He needed to protect himself. He said he needed to protect his job. And indeed, he certainly does. Because we're looking here at the unveiling of a very ugly picture. And it's just a reminder of the fact that that this kind of thing does come to light. And here's a man who had to stand before a live studio audience and an international media audience and admit to this. The interesting thing is what kind of backlash there might be from this, what the public response to this will be. I think the most disturbing thing last night was not what David Letterman said. It was the studio audience response. And in fairness to them, given the circumstance, they'd walked into an entertainment show expecting to be entertained. They were listening to a man who's a comedian who knew exactly what he was doing. But you just had to know that in that room, when they figured out this isn't a joke, this is real, it had to be very, very uncomfortable. Speaking of uncomfortable, the gay games are going to Cleveland, that city there in Ohio, known as a fairly conservative state with a fairly conservative blue-collar image there in the city of Cleveland. The gay games are going to be going there. And as they are going, it's a very interesting phenomenon that, well, just imagine this. Chicago just found out they are not getting the Olympics. And the city of Chicago is very disappointed as now President Obama and the First Lady are coming back having made a personal pitch and having the games announced going to Rio, the first time the Olympics will ever be held in South America. On the other hand, the people of Cleveland just got informed, many of them not even knowing that they were in the bidding, that the gay games are coming to Cleveland. And let me just offer a word of counsel here. One of the interesting things in the reports coming out of this announcement from Cleveland is that people in Cleveland don't know what to do with this. Well, let me suggest what you should do with it now. Number one, you should prepare for the arrival of a very highly publicized global homosexual event that's going to take a great deal of prayer and preparation and strategizing to think about how to speak about this to your children, how to respond to this as a local church and as individuals, how to talk about this with your friends and neighbors. Secondly, you know, if you found out that in one particular time, for one particular event, the world was going to be coming to your city, the church would respond to that by saying, this is a great, great commission opportunity. Well, just remember this announcement, folks, in Cleveland, means that the world is coming to Cleveland. A certain cohort of the world that that may shock a lot of people and that is regrettably identified by a sexual lifestyle we know to be sin. Well, here's good news. And I understand that there in that community, it may be difficult to know exactly how you'd respond to this at any given moment or even talk about it right now in the aftermath of the announcement. But just consider this. In the providence of God, the world is coming to Cleveland. And this is going to present you with a real, undeniable, unprecedented opportunity. So right now, I want to tell you, I'm praying for the Christians and the churches in Cleveland that they will be ready for this in a way that will bring glory to God and the gospel to people who otherwise might never hear it. We're going to come back to talk about what men want, what men should want. Last week it was women. Let's bring in hope and talk about men. The phone number 877-893-8255. We'll be right back with your calls.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. It was a week ago Sunday that Maureen Dowd wrote her column, Blue is the New Black. And what she meant by that is that women are generally unhappy. That's what she writes. And as they get older, they get less happy. Now, one of the things we need to say right here at the get-go, right at the very beginning, is that happiness is not the most important issue in life. Especially from a Christian worldview perspective, happiness can be overrated. Joy, that's not with respect to conditions and circumstances. That's what Christians should see as our proper disposition, to be joyful. But on the other hand, this data is telling us something. And the data tells us that as women grow older, they grow less satisfied. And Maureen Dowd, pretty committed to a feminist agenda herself, mentioned in the article that these new expectations, even the expectations that feminism has brought to the lives of women, that's a part of what's making them unhappy, because at the end of the day, you can't have it all. And at the end of the day, as women get older, they seem to be recognizing in a way that can be fairly disappointing that they really can't have it all. And there are other complicating issues as well. There were other issues that were on the table when we talked last week. A fascinating cover article in First Things, one of the most important Christian intellectual journals on what woman wants. And so we asked the question. We had a good conversation, got some very good feedback, and quite frankly, we'll return to that question someday because it was a conversation that was left unfinished. And that's one of the great things about talk radio. I get to hear from you in days and even weeks after the broadcast, and new things come up that we need to come back and talk about. But I had a very interesting email from a woman who said, what I want to know is what do men want? Okay, so fair is fair. And even as Maureen Dowd was writing about women and the fact that as they grow older, they grow less happy, she mentions that conversely, as men grow older, they tend to report that they are happier. And, well, that's worthy of conversation. But it's not just a matter of asking what do men want, because there are an awful lot of men who want the wrong things. It's what should men want. And what would bring real meaning, real joy, real contentment, real purpose to a man's life? Let's talk about that. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I believe that men and women are different in terms of what they want. Now, there are some commonalities, no doubt. But when it comes to the differences between men and women, I think this points out that as God made us different, he made us even want some different things, which is good. Because if we always wanted the same thing, the one would not be able to give the one thing to the other. But that's what is so wonderful about men and women together in marriage. A man and a woman together in marriage are matched because there is a pattern of want and the ability to give that should be reciprocal and matched. But let's talk about it. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Glad to hear from you by social media at Facebook. It's the Albert Mohler Program. At Twitter, twitter.com/Albert Mohler or Mohler Radio. Email us at mail@albertmohler.com. The phone number, 877-893-TALK. The first one ready to talk is Tiana calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Go ahead, Tiana.
Hi, Albert. I think the most important things that men want are love. I think they want to be loved. I think the second thing is they want to feel valued, whether it's by their wife or at their job or what have you. You know, have a sense of need and a sense of purpose. And I think it's also important that a man feel respected.
Now, that's a very important word there. And when I think you think of what men want, if you actually get down to the honest essence of the issue, that may be the most important word, respect. I think the way men are made, the only way to find that that you're really aligned with where you need to be, fulfilling what you need to fulfill, doing what you need to do, is if there is respect. The only way you know that a relationship is worthy is if there is respect. And I can guarantee you, Tiana, that you're absolutely right when you say that men long to be respected. And of course, I'm going to come back and say that you're talking about not only what a man does want, but what a man should want. And I think a man should want to be respected, which means a man has to act in such a way that he will be given respect. Respect is not just his due. It is that which comes by being in the right place, doing the right things, by being a man, by being a husband, by being a father, by fulfilling the adult male responsibilities, and by being worthy of respect in the way that he lives, the way that he talks, in terms of the way that he loves and the way that he lives. I think that's very, very important. Tiana, I appreciate your call. Now, I want to know, where are the male voices out there? I can tell you what this man wants. He wants men to answer the question, what do men want? The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Come on, guys. It's your turn. What do you want? 877-893-8255. I came up with my own list just trying to think about this because as I was asked the question by email by a listener, I really went to go look at this and say, you know, when you start looking at what men want, the first thing I notice is that I think we can tell what the culture thinks men want. I mentioned this book, and I got it right here in my hands. It's by a man by the name of Simon Oakes. It's not a Christian book, not at all. It's not intended that way. It's a fairly humorous book, but it's a book that also has a point, and the point is on the front cover of the book. What do men marry for? What do men want in marriage, for instance? It says, we'll marry for food, sex, and laundry. Here's a guy in a suit. He's looking pretty responsible. He's looking like this is the kind of man a woman might want to marry. He's got a sign he's holding, we'll marry for food, sex, and laundry. On the back of the book, the cover says, forget romance, forget true love, forget soulmates. What men want is food, sex, and laundry. If you want a man to marry you, you have to give him what he needs, and what he needs is not that complicated. Men get married for three simple reasons, writes Simon Oakes, food, sex, and laundry. Now, I raise this because if you listen to the way the culture talks about what men want, you're going to think that what men want primarily is fast cars and fast women and sexual thrills and constant fun and all the stuff that comes with what is imaged in the society as the good life. And I got to tell you, there is something in a Genesis 3 world where men can often focus on those things at the expense of things they should be wanting. Not that every single one of those things in its own context is wrong, but that taken together, that's a picture of the good life that isn't worthy of any man who's going to actually live out what it means to be a man. What a man should want is respect and meaning and purpose and marriage and influence and children and to make a difference in the world. Now, with those things come many other good things, but it's very interesting, this book on what men want. Men will marry for food, sex, and laundry. Let me just tell you something, ladies, and I want you to hear this in the way that I mean to say it. There's a lot of truth in that book title, and please don't reduce it to this, but yeah, there's a lot of truth. Here's this guy who's holding a sign, will marry for food, sex, and laundry. I want to tell you something. It comes back to that same need, and that's the need for respect. And one of the ways that a wife shows respect for her husband is by doing those things that show her love through the very kinds of things that are talked about here. I mean, doing laundry, that's a small thing in the grand scheme of life, but you know what? One of the ways my wife shows she loves me is by taking care of me. And if I ever had to do the laundry, well, let's just not even go there. Let me just tell you, I am very thankful for a wife who does respect me. That means more to me than she could ever know. But I also appreciate all the ways she shows it. The phone number is 877-893-8255. What do men want? What should men want? You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. 1 week ago today, we were talking about what women want. It really was an interesting conversation. I enjoyed it because I learned a lot. And it was occasioned by that article by Maureen Dowd that said that evidently women aren't getting what they want because they're growing more dissatisfied as they grow older. It was a good discussion because we're not talking about just what women did want, but what they should want. And so today we turned the tables, and it was at the suggestion of a female listener who wrote in by email and said, all right, let's turn the question, what do men want? Okay, good question. Let's give her an answer. It's a good question for us to think about, not only what do men want, but what should men want. We had a good discussion started. Let's go to Hollisburg, Pennsylvania. Rick's listening to WTLR. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I certainly agree with the respect piece of it. And I think, secondly, men are looking for that feeling of satisfaction that they're accomplishing things in their career, that what they do matters. But my wife just threw out an interesting comment in regards to that being a little bit of a conflict with going through maybe a midlife crisis.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the old proverbial midlife crisis, as I understand it, Rick, and by the way, I'm about to trip up 50 years. I'm days away from my 50th birthday, and I think I've got to admit this is officially midlife, and that's kind of a hard thing to admit. But nonetheless, I think what I perceive from most people who seem to go through something, like most men, is that it comes down to a basic question of, am I actually accomplishing anything? But there's a flip side to that, and I'm just going to be honest about this, Rick. I think for a lot of men, it's the recognition that there are things we're never going to get to do. There are places we are never going to get to go. There are experiences we're never going to get to have. There are goals we're never going to reach, because finitude begins to set in big time at midlife, where you recognize it's just not going to be like my boyhood dreams, where, you know, I could go from the swing set to the merry-go-round or whatever out in the playground as a little kid running around, you know, and just imagine one thing and to another. Or you're an adolescent and, you know, you're out there thinking, all right, life's a wide open door for me and I can do all these things. By the time you reach midlife, you all of a sudden realize life is made up of finite choices. I've got one life to live. And I think it's a very opportune moment for sin in a man's life. And I want to say that. I think it's a very opportune moment for sin in a man's life, because I got to tell you, and this is something we better all watch, and as Christian brothers, we better watch each other about this. I think I can detect in so many men the temptation to get to this point of life and say, all right, if I can't have it all, then I'm going to rearrange my life to have exactly what I want right now, and at great expense to life, to marriage, to all those fundamental responsibilities he bears. I think there are a lot of men who begin to excuse bad behavior, sin, and other irresponsibilities in their life because they think, all right, I've reached this age, I deserve this satisfaction, and that's just fundamentally wrong, fundamentally wrong. What a man most needs is respect, and that means he has to act in a way that will bring him respect. And that's where Christian brothers especially need to hold each other accountable and encouraged in that direction. I think, Rick, you're exactly right. What a man wants is a life that is fulfilling. We want to know that it means something. And I appreciate what your wife threw in there, but I got to tell you, that's at every stage of life and every moment. And I'm telling you right now, I am certain that there are men in their 70s and 80s and 90s who will tell you right now, in their most honest moments, they need right now to know that their life is fulfilling. And we need to treat them in such a way and speak to them in such a way and encourage them in such a way that they know that it is. Let's go to Jared calling from Baltimore, Maryland, listening on WRBS. Go ahead, Jared.
Hi there, Dr. Al. I love your show and your column.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to say that I think like men want freedom.
Okay, expand on that for me, Jared, because, you know, freedom can mean many things, some of them good, some of them bad.
Well, I think the good part of freedom, I wanted to say I'm a newlywed. I've been married just a little over a year, and I'm not meaning, like, freedom from my wife or anything like that to go off with other women. but I'm thinking of just freedom as far as I want to be able to change my career. I want to be able to still, you know, chase down my dreams and to just be able to, you know, pick up and change everything at a moment's notice and still be able to do that instead of being shackled down by, you know, obligations.
Jarrett, I appreciate very much your call, and when I come back, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I think it's very interesting. Jarrett says that what men want is freedom, and he was very clear. This doesn't mean freedom from all of his commitments and obligations. The question is, you know, what does that look like? I think the word that perhaps comes to my mind is that men need space. I'll tell you that's true. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Interesting stuff. We'll be right back.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. You know, Jared's calls really made me think about freedom. And, you know, in a conversation like this, you're never able to plumb the depths you might want to on that. I'll tell you, men need space. There's no doubt about it. And and that's what somehow makes men at least somewhat different than women, speaking as a generalization. And you see it early. I mean, boys need more space than girls. And by space, I'm not talking about just geography and physical space, but that's important too. But I just mean even some space that's just a little distance. Sometimes women don't understand that's a male need. But when it comes to obligations, you know, a part of what makes a Christian man a man, or for that matter, any man a man, is meeting those obligations. From a Christian perspective, though, there's a deeper reason. And even as I was reflecting on Jared's comments, I was really thinking about Martin Luther, the great reformer of the 14th century, who in his essay on the freedom of the Christian man says that we need to remember that the first thing about the Christian man's freedom is that it's a freedom for rather than a freedom from. And I think that's a very good thing for us all to think about. You know, insofar as a man's inclination is to emphasize a freedom from something, that's something we probably better watch. But a freedom for something, that's probably a healthier direction. Appreciate that call. Let's go next to, Louisville, Kentucky. Kevin's listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Kevin.
Honestly, I think men are extremely career-driven and goal-oriented, and totally agreeing with your comment on men need space. But at the same time, I think men like to come home to, you know, a godly wife who can understand the sacrifices that man is making for them, you know, in terms of waking up every day, providing for the family, and, you know, ultimately wanting to see the family succeed.
Yeah.
Not to say that women aren't sacrificing, because, you know, it's an equilibrium in terms of what the two share, but I think the men, going back to appreciation, just want to know that what they're doing day to day, waking up, earning a living for their family, is understood by the wife when they come home.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point. That goes back to the respect issue and the purpose issue put together. I think, Kevin, you've nailed it in a very articulate way, because I think that's exactly what most men are looking for. And, you know, I'm thinking of a book that I mentioned back on Father's Day on my website. A young man growing up in Detroit has talked about his dad. He said when he reached a certain age, he realized his dad was just the guy that got up early in the morning and went out and worked all day so that they had clothes and they had food. And he said, the thing I learned about men and about dads is that when something's broken, dads fix it. If it's out in the middle of the night in sub-zero weather, they do it because it has to be done. And that was a son speaking of respect for his father. And that is what men want, is to know that our work makes a difference and that's recognized by the people for whom we're doing that work. And, I think you nailed it. I think that's right in the center of the target, Kevin. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Corydon, Indiana. Kenny's also listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Kenny.
Hi, Dr. Mohler. I'm a single father. My son's 9 years old. I've had custody of him for a year now, a little over a year. And I have no problem with doing the dishes, cooking the food, doing the laundry. I enjoy being able to take care of myself and my son. I would like to find a good, godly woman, and it seems like these women, I don't know, the women out here, they don't want that anymore. They don't want a good guy. They don't want someone who's there for them, who will take care of them. I met a woman here recently, And she said I was too nice to her. She wanted me to be rude to her.
Now, I don't know exactly what to do with that, Kenny, but it sounds like the best thing you can do there is move in a very different direction as fast as possible. But I will tell you this, that there are an awful lot of women out there who are looking for the right things. And what we need are for men to look for the right things and then to be found by and to find the women who are looking for the right things. And that's what we need to hope and pray for. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Robbie calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Go ahead, Robbie.
I just wanted to say that I think men want to keep their priorities when they hit midlife and keep an eternal perspective in their priorities. I think that men struggle with that, and they want that instant gratification and that grab what they want now, and they forget to keep heaven in mind and keep the eternal side of it in mind.
I think that's a very important point, and I think it's, again, spot on. And I think, by the way, that men who are not believers in Christ nonetheless have this yearning for eternity within them. That's a reminder of what it means to be made in the image of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we are told that God put eternity in their hearts, speaking in the hearts of humanity, so that we would fear him. And there is in every human heart, because every single human is made in the image of God, there is in every single human heart, and that means in every man's heart, a sense for eternity, a yearning for eternity. And that's a very important issue as well. Very interesting comments. It's been a very fascinating conversation. It's the kind of conversation that, that again, is easier to begin than to end. And it's because this is one of those big issues. I want to come back to talking about what men should want, not just what men do want, but what men should want. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. When you are thinking about what men should want, well, let me just come back and say that we really have to come to a basic issue, like with asking the question, what do women want? And the basic issue is this. Should we get the signals, the substance, the content of what we should want from the world around us, from the culture and its dominant signals, from its ambient influences, from its constant 24/7 pressures, or should we look elsewhere? And this is where the Christian, thinking as a Christian, has to come back to the fact that we must find what we should want, not by looking within, not by sitting and meditating on ourselves, but by looking to the Word of God. That's the only place we're going to find this. And that's where a woman who is growing more dissatisfied as she gets older and doesn't know why, it may be because she's looking for and wanting the wrong things. And the same thing is true for men. If a man is having a midlife crisis, if a man is having a crisis of meaning and purpose, if a man is reaching the end of his youth, if a man is feeling the realities of his age, if a man is chafing at the responsibilities that he finds himself facing, it may be, well, no, stronger than that. We know it is. A reminder that the Christian knows the only way to resolve that is to go to the Word of God and find out what God would have men to be and to do. And that is the only place we're going to find joy and happiness. And it's where we have our wants recalibrated by the Word of God. Our Creator has a perfect purpose for us. He knows what we need, and He supplies what we need. If indeed men do not have what they need, it is because they're trying to do it all for themselves, or they want the wrong things in the first place. Back with more on this and some final thoughts in just a moment. You're listening to the Albert Miller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Miller Program. Good conversation. We'll continue these thoughts, and let me know what you're thinking. Write me at mail@albertmiller.com. Always glad to hear from you at Twitter, @Albert Miller, and at Facebook, the Albert Miller Program. This week, something happened that caught my attention. Guillermo Indara, the former president of Panama, died on Monday. And he became president of Panama as the end of the Noriega regime was approaching. And he was elected in May of 1989, but it was only after the toppling of the Noriega regime. If you remember, General Manuel Noriega was the military strongman that had led such an oppressive regime there in Panama. And then in Operation Just Cause, under the presidency of President George H.W. Bush, American military forces landed in Panama and liberated that country from Manuel Noriega. It took Manuel Noriega, accused of trafficking in narcotics and all kinds of crimes, into custody. He remains in American custody, serving in an American penal institution. But Guillermo Endara then became the man to lead Panama. And I was there. And I was there as a newspaper editor and as a reporter in this case. And I was in the airlift that went into Panama City immediately after Operation Just Cause. So immediately after the invasion, I was there in Panama City. I was able to walk around with a colleague of mine, Dan Hatfield, who was serving in that area as a missionary. I was there walking in the ruins, the smoking ruins of the Comandancia, the former command post of Manuel Noriega. Went down to the beach where the Navy SEALs landed. And all of this is very, very fresh. Went to the barracks where Apache helicopters had come in and basically disarmed and neutralized Noriega's top crack troops. And yet the highlight of my visit during the time I was there was the opportunity to interview the new president of Panama. I'll never forget that. Guillermo Endara was in the cathedral there in Panama City. I had one of the very first American interviews with him. It was published, by the way, an account of this in Christianity Today in May of 1990, almost 20 years ago. That's interesting to reflect upon, almost 20 years ago. And I'll tell you, I met President Endara in the cathedral because he was ruling and holding forth the government from underneath the statue of Mary holding Christ, the Pietà, there in the cathedral, because the risk of assassination was so great, he thought that no assassin in that Catholic country would dare come in the cathedral and shoot bullets that might hit that statue. It was a fascinating opportunity to talk to a man who at that moment in time all of a sudden discovered what his purpose was in the aftermath of a coup to try to stitch a nation back together. And yes, what do men want? Well, men want a purpose in life. I'm remembering one man I got to talk to 20 years ago who found that purpose in an unexpected way and died on Monday. I'll see you next week for Intelligent Christian Conversation.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.